Sky Sports Radio, it is time for On The Pace, and our good man Greg Hayes joins us. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Cozzy, and we heard Lazarus there in the intro. We'll be talking about him a fair bit on this morning's show. Want to have a chat to Mick Geeran a little bit later on. We're going to discuss Lazarus and just how good he is after that performance in winning the Hunter Cup. He now comes to Sydney. In fact, he's already here. He's with Mark Purden in Sydney preparing for the Miracle Mile qualifiers on Saturday week, and then he'll obviously take his place in the Miracle Mile the following week. But that 154.1 new track record for the 2700 at Melton, quarters of 29.4, 28.6. They've re-clocked the last two quarters, 27 and 28 seconds, but he was simply brilliant in defeat. Soho Tribeca, very aggressive drive by Greg Sugars. That was rewarded, and that was very good. And, the stablemate to Lazarus finishing third, Heaven Rocks, and he was quite good up the straight as well. Lenny the Shark finishing fourth, and Amaretto finished fifth. So we might catch up with Ash Grives today, who owns Amaretto, but she's also the co-trainer, if you like, of Whittaker, who won the Paleface Adios on Saturday night at Menangle, and in doing so, booked himself a spot in this week's Chariots of Fire. Went 153.9, 28, 30.1, 28.7, 27.1, and it was a 10 out of 10 drive by Ash. Absolutely super. She's also got a rocker band going around in the Sebelius Stakes, so we'll catch up with Ash this morning. Also want to speak with Lee Sutton as well. Lee's brought up a bit of a career milestone over the weekend. He drove his 600th winner when he got the first leg of a treble at Newcastle on Saturday night, but he also travelled to Tamworth on Friday and picked up a couple of winners there. And I don't think he's too far away from becoming a dad for the second time as well. So we'll catch up with Lee, and as mentioned, we'll speak with Mick Geeran as well. So a lot to look forward to on the show this morning before we wrap up at 11 o'clock. The Hunter Cup was the main race on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park at Melton. Lazarus simply sublime in that. Tiger Tara got crossed in the early stages by Shadow Sachs before we saw Tiger Tara come off the inside and retake the lead. That left Lazarus in the death seat for a little while until they made the move on Soho Tribeca, who came and sat in the chair, and then basically the move stopped in the race until the decision was made to go around to the chair with Lazarus. But we'll talk more about that with Mick a little bit later on. Let's have a chat with Lee Sutton, who's driving extremely well at the moment. Picked up five winners over the weekend, couple at Tamworth on Friday, three at Newcastle on Saturday, and in the process also brought up his 600th career winner in the Sulky, and Lee's joining us on the show. Morning, Lee.
Hey, how you going, Hazy?
Mate, really well. Obviously driving very well at the moment. The results suggest you're having a really good trot at the moment. I think you're enjoying your best season at the moment for the last four or five. You must be happy with how everything's going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It all comes down to a bit of hard work at the minute, but you know, without the support of probably Clayton Harmony and a few others that sort of helped me out around home, you know, that makes it possible.
We're also seeing you doing a fair bit of travelling as well. You're not afraid to jump in the car and get to Newcastle to drive for Clayton and other stables up there, and even go as far as Tamworth for a couple of drives, which you did on Friday night.
Yeah, well, we sort of had that mindset when I was back in Victoria with, obviously, you know, we'd travel like me and Chris Venozio and Nathan Jack as a kid. So we always thought you go where you can go to drive a winner and, you know, make a little bit of money.
Now, on Saturday night, you brought up your 600th winner in the Sulky with a horse that's trained by your wife, Tian, Team of Stars winning. That was the first of three winners on the night, but good to see Team of Stars get a victory.
Yeah, no, I've been racing very consistent of late, so it was good to see him win. I was a bit surprised that the times he ran from the breeze to actually do it, to be honest, but, you know, he deserved the win if there was a horse probably in our stable anyway that deserved one to win one.
And is he the sort of horse, even though he's going to go up in grade as a result of that win, that can still be consistent because of the attributes that he's got?
Oh, yeah. He's not blessed with brilliant gate speed or anything great, but, you know, like, if we can keep dropping him back to a one and probably sneak him back to Newcastle, we'll probably win his next five, I'd say.
All right. What about your Blue Eyes Crying for Clayton? Back in the winners list as well?
Yeah, I really like this filly. She's probably one of the better ones I get to sit on, mostly super fast. What she did at Tamworth in the heat of the country series race was just blew me away. She got knocked over early and sort of give him 70 and tacked on, and I went wide and she still won. So she has plenty of ability, that one.
So she's one we should follow going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she won pretty easy the other night. She sort of got to him and wanted to knock off and still had the plugs in, but I just thought I'd ask her to keep going. But no, she's going to go places, that one.
What about Elsie Gem winning for Polly Downing? That was the third leg of your treble. Did a good job?
Yeah, it sort of... A mishap probably worked in its favour. It sort of punched through early hard and got kicking my outside wheel of my race bike, and obviously mine's pretty short, so I got it up on the bit and charging a little bit, so I didn't have much option to sort of find a helmet at that stage, but it worked out in her favour, and, you know, she's done a good job because we run pretty fair sectionals, and, you know, she's, I don't know what she's going to go to, but she'll win a few more up there.
And then a couple of winners on Friday night as well. Mate, I mentioned the 600. That's obviously a feather in your cap and a nice milestone to reach.
Yeah, absolutely. I was probably, when I drove me 500, so I was sort of flying in the Riverina at the time and thought to myself, oh, well, it won't be too far around the corner. And when it comes down to the 600, I sort of forgot about it because I tried a few other little things in the last couple of years that didn't work out, and obviously back driving again and enjoying it. And, you know, and I got reminded that Ash Brennan said to me at about 3 months ago, I was on about 580. So been in the back of the mind for a little while, but, you know, it was just nice to get a milestone off me back, I suppose.
And how's Tian coming along? Because the birth of the baby can't be too far away, can it?
No, it's about 6 weeks, I think. I get reminded of it all the time, and I'm not home very often. Obviously, I work at the stable and things like that. So, you know, I think we're about due on the 23rd of March, so exciting times there.
Well, mate, all the best of luck. You're driving extremely well at the moment. Well done with the 600 winners, and good luck with the new arrival in late March.
Thanks, Avery.
There he is, Lee Sutton, who's driving extremely well at the moment. 3 winners at Newcastle Saturday night and a couple of winners at Tamworth on Friday. The Paleface Adios on Saturday night, we saw the performance of Whittaker, trained by Mark Jones, driven by Ash Grives. Of course, Ash in charge of the Sydney team for Mark. A really good drive, didn't participate early, grabbed hold, went straight back into the running line and was able to push through underneath 3 or 4 of them and ended up in the 1-2, got to the outside in the straight, got home hard, 28-7, 27-1, has drawn 4 in the Chariots of Fire. We'll move into 3, and Ash Grives joining us on the show. Morning, Ash.
Good morning. How are you going?
Really well. You must have been extremely happy with Whittaker's performance on Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's always been a nice horse, and we've just struck a couple of issues along the way, but to have him back at the right time, it was a really good win, and he certainly lived up to his ability.
We saw in the first 300 metres on Saturday night, you had a plan, and that was to get rid of that bad draw in the early stages, grab hold and get down to the pegs or as close as you could, and everything turned out perfectly for you in the first couple of hundred.
It did, yeah. I probably didn't have much choice drawing 7. He doesn't possess great gate speed. It's probably one thing that does let him down. So, you know, I knew there was sort of the speed was sort of out wider, and I just thought if I could, you know, turn left and not participate and just get as close as I could, then we were a real shot rather than sort of coming out a little bit and then, you know, either having to do overtime or go back to last. So, which proved, you know, a lot of those horses last night certainly did overtime when they went forward. So probably worked in our favour on Saturday night. But, it's probably not a great trait to have, no gate speed.
Coming to the turn, what were you thinking? Because you looked to have a lap full of horse. You just had to get to the outside.
Yeah, for sure. He travelled really well throughout, and we were certainly close enough. Some had done a lot of overtime out there wide, so it was just a matter of, you know, getting the splits at the right time and needing a bit of luck, which we certainly got both right at the right time, and he was able to knuckle down and show his true speed when he sort of driven cold like that.
What about the Chariots of Fire? He's drawn four. He moves into three if the emergencies come out. You've said that he doesn't have a lot of gate speed in the early stages. And there looks the speed horses, again, are drawn out wide. You're probably going to be in the second half of the field from there. Are you confident that he can run a place on Saturday night?
I think so. I think, you know, the draw is good. Like I said, we don't have any gate speed, so we should sort of, you know, just turn left. And again, we're going to need luck. But the speed horses are probably drawn out wider, so I think they're going to be doing a lot of work early. And I think they'll certainly run along. Like, it's a $200,000 race. So, this, you know, the 58 first half on Saturday, it worried me with Whitaker sort of sitting back because it's hard to make ground when they go so slow early. But I think there'll be plenty of fireworks early on Saturday night. And, we'll just do as less as we can and hopefully have enough speed at the end to get there.
He's come a long way in a short time, hasn't he, Whitaker?
He has, yeah. He came over only lightly assessed, but his last run in New Zealand, he came over, he did beat the free-fallers in New Zealand. He was only a C1 when coming over. So, you know, that form in New Zealand certainly held up through our weaker classes. And, yeah, he's progressed really nicely through a couple of feature series. So he's always been a really nice horse. He probably showed a bit of a tougher side when racing at Bathurst, but, you know, ideally at Menangle, he's a high-speed horse, and it was good to probably drive him that way and show what he can do, because he sort of had a couple of tough runs at Menangle, which probably didn't suit.
What about Rockaband? She goes around in the Sibelius Stakes on Saturday night. Winner gets through to the Ladyship Mile. She's drawn terribly. She's out in the car park in 11. She's going reasonably well. She hasn't had a lot of racing, but that last run suggested that she's not too far away from finding her peak.
Yeah, definitely. It's a terrible draw on Saturday night, but we just had a few hiccups with her along the way, but her last run was promising and certainly showed glimpses of her old self. So she's trained on really well since, and I'm really happy with her at this point, but just the draw is shocking. So I've got some decisions to make there, that's for sure.
All right. What about Amaretto? She obviously doesn't go around this weekend. Ran an absolute cracker in the Hunter Cup. You must be so happy with her. But what's the plans? Does she come to Sydney and try and qualify for the Ladyship Mile? Are you thinking about throwing her in into the Miracle Mile qualifiers? What's the plans, you and Karen? What have you come up with?
Yeah, look, I spoke to Kez yesterday. We're going to, obviously she couldn't contest this mare's heat this week, it was too much on her, but we'll contest the second one and hope that she qualifies. I did raise the question whether it would be possible that she may have got an invite, given that Perth mare's declined being in foal, and, you know, with her two placings in the Grand Circuit Cups, I thought it might warrant her an invite, but unfortunately not. So we'll have to, just contest that last heat and hope that nothing goes wrong.
What did you make of her run in the Ladyship Cup in the Group 1 down in Victoria? You drove her. She, again, so brave and not beaten far in a race where they absolutely blew the clock apart late.
Yeah, definitely. She went super. Just, they got home in 26 and it's almost impossible to make ground when they do that up front. She was absolutely travelling around the bend, but the sprint lane just sort of takes forever to come and just ran out of time to really wind up on her. But, she went super. It just wasn't really ran to suit and the draw probably didn't work out that great in the end, but it was, super run and even better run the next week.
Does Kez come up to drive in those ladyship qualifier, or will you do the driving? What's the plans?
We haven't actually discussed that, but probably Kez will come, I'd say. But either or, if she doesn't, I will. So we'll just play it by ear, I guess.
All right, and a lot of people would be following your foray into thoroughbred racing as well. You train a few gallopers. How are you finding that?
Yeah, good. It's a challenge. It's all different, but it's going pretty well at the moment. So we've got one in today that should go okay. So yeah, no, it's good. It's enjoyable, and like I said, it's a lot different, but it's a challenge, and it's really good.
Do you work the gallopers alongside the pacers, or do they basically have to be separated?
I did at home. It's probably just a bit hard here at Menangle with so much going on all the tracks. It's quite hectic. So they'd probably just go mental. But, no, we train them out at Aquagate and we water walk them and treadmill them, and that seems to be working pretty well with them. So, yeah, I'm happy with where they're at.
Well, you need to be praised for all the work you do. You're very busy, and we thank you for joining us this morning on the radio, and all the best of luck on Saturday night with not only Whittaker but also Rocker Band, and good luck today at the Gallops. What race are you in this afternoon?
It's at Kembla Grange. It's about 3 o'clock. I think it's about race four.
All right, and what's the name of the horse?
Spirit and Fire.
Spirit and Fire. All right, we'll follow it. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
There she is, Ash Grives, dual licensed and drove an absolute cracker. 10 out of 10 drive on Saturday night aboard Whittaker. Went back and watched the replay this morning, and a lot of people obviously pick up the concluding stages of a race and see that Whittaker got to the outside and Ash charged home. She did get a fine for a use of the whip, but the drive to get into the position she got early, that was very, very good. And those quarters again, 28, 30.1, 28.7 and 27.1. Well, there's been a lot of talk on social media, just how good is Lazarus? Is he the best, the GOAT, as everyone's saying, or is he up there in the top half dozen of horses that we've seen over the last 40 or so years? Mick Guerin has covered a number of feature races over the past 20 or so years, probably even longer than that, and he has seen some of the best horses to race in the Southern Hemisphere. I thought we'd get Mick on this morning just to have a chat about Lazarus and where he thinks he sits in the overall grand scheme of things. Mick Guerin, thanks for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure, Hazy. Hope things are going well for all the punters there. And massive news coming out just before about the Lynx situation. I never quite thought I'd see the day when a champion racehorse was program changed because of the jockey. So I must admit that's absolutely stunned me.
Yes, and goes now into the first the Group 1 first up, the Chipping Norton on March 3. Mate, Lazarus, is he Harness Racing's Winx?
Well, he's the closest thing we have. And Winx obviously is an Australian sporting icon. So the second you suggest a horse is comparable compared with its own opposition as Winx, you're going to upset people. And galloping people get upset very quickly when you start even suggesting a harness horse might have quite that level of superiority. When you consider the absolute facts, he is at least as superior to his rivals as Winx, because Winx races pretty much at weight for age, where as a female, she gets a 2 kilo claim off the boys. Now, that's obviously an advantage that Lazarus doesn't get. And obviously he also gets in situations where he has to often come from, three wide or sitting path, whereas in galloping, such disadvantages don't tend to be quite as dramatic. You can also make the case that Winx is potentially the best galloper in the world. That's a realistic thing to say. And there's also a very realistic argument that Lazarus is the best pacer in the world. But the key word there is importance. It's important being the best galloper in Australia, and it's awfully important being the best galloper in the world. It's not as important being the best harness horse in the world, because less people watch it and there's a lot less horses. The flip side to that is, once Winx retires as a mare, her legacy is unlikely to be as dramatic as Lazarus's. Lazarus is going to be a very commercial stallion. You would suggest he could serve 250 horses per year, whereas Winx can produce one foal a year. And many of the great mares, Maccabi Diva, Sunline, haven't gone on to produce great foals. So long term, Lazarus may have more impact on his industry than Winx will have. But yeah, it's a very, you can't tell people what they should love, and everybody, including me, loves Winx.
What about Lazarus when looking within his own industry? Where does he sit in the great horses that have raced in Australia and New Zealand over the past 30, 40 years?
Well, I think the key factors you need to say is what are you looking for? Because, again, you can't tell, and I've tried this for 30 years, you can't tell Australians there's a better horse than Popular Arm. They just don't want to know. Now, clearly the records and the body of work, because body of work's very important. For example, yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in football. are they the best team in football over the last 10 years? No, they're not, because the Patriots' body at work is bigger. But you're telling people that in Philadelphia today. Blacks are Fake is the best Australian pacer of all time. Now, he's not the most talented. He's just not. But he's the best because his body of work is enormous. No other horse is close to winning four Inter-Dominions. He won a Hunter Cup, a Victoria Cup. He just won everything that mattered, apart from the Miracle Mile. And most horses have him apart. Popular Arm was probably more talented, but let's be completely honest about it, Hazy. Popular Arm and many of the horses of his era come with an asterisk next to them. We don't know what was going on there, but we have our enormous suspicions, not just about him, but basically about every horse who raced in that era. And that's just a fact. People don't like to hear it, but it's still true. Then you have Christian Cullen, who is a very similar horse to Popular Arm, incredibly talented, but like Poppy, had his career in open class curtailed by injury. So both those horses were probably as talented as any of the other horses we've seen, but they didn't have the body of work of Blacks Are Fake. Lazarus doesn't have that body of work yet, because he's only towards the middle of his five-year-old season. Being a stallion, they're looking to maybe bring him back next season, so maybe he could end up the richest and with a similar body of work as Blacks Are Fake. What would help take him towards that greatest of the last 30 or 40 years would be winning the Miracle Mile at Menangle on the 24th. But the greatest of all time is a conversation most people simply aren't qualified to have because they haven't done the work to look at what has happened in the past. There's a horse called Cardigan Bay who raced back in the 1960s who was the greatest Australasian pacer of all time. There can be no argument about that. That's literally like arguing against Farlap. This is the horse who was the first horse in the world, not galloping or harness racing, the world of either code, to win $1 million. This is a horse who won every major race you would want to win in this part of the world. A horse who, in a trackwork accident, had its sulky snap and drove its sulky stay, the broken part, into its own rump, and they thought the horse would never race again. He then went to America and beat the best horses in America. Not the good horses, the best horses in America. And won $1 million and raced till he was around 11 or 12 years old. So all conversations start with Cardigan Bay. So before people want to get on Twitter and talk about the GOAT, which is a very easy thing to say when you're emotional at the time, they should get on Twitter and they should get on the internet, Hazy, and read about Cardigan Bay, because he was harness racing's Farlap. And he will be, unless Lazarus does something pretty incredible in the next couple of years, which probably includes going to America and beating their best, Cardigan Bay will remain the greatest.
What about his ability to stay? Bowtide was a better stayer than his rivals, and we saw that in a couple of performances at Menangle in the Inter-Dominion final. But this horse, his staying capacity is, again, out of this world. He's Bowtide plus 100. Do you think he can win the Miracle Mile?
Bowtide raced in a poor era. I loved Bowtide because everybody loved the Rattray family, but he raced in a poor era for horses. And also, he was only predominantly dominant on one track. So the horses he beat in his two Inter-Dominion finals were nowhere as good as the horses that Lazarus is beating now. So Lazarus would beat Bowtide. That's a gimme. Whether he has the absolute change-up speed to win a Miracle Mile was maybe the slight concern, but he has a chance to prove that in a couple of weeks. He hasn't shown a great absolute change-up speed, but I do think last season, in the second half of the season, he wasn't himself. They had a problem after he won the New Zealand Cup, and I think he was below par for much of the season. So Menangle's really crucial for him, Greg. To go to Menangle and try and exercise that demon of not being beaten, but beaten easily in last year's Miracle Mile is crucial. Then people won't have anything to sort of to stand against. The only thing which will be left for him then will be A, longevity, and B, going overseas. The second one far less important now than it used to be, because the stakes in this part of the world are as good as the stakes in the United States. So, but in the last 10 years, since Blacks Are Fake retired, I think he's the best horse we've seen in that period. But as I said, Hayes, it's a really hard conversation to have for a lot of people because it requires honesty about what other horses and other eras were racing on, and also some perspective, which often comes with doing a lot of research. And a lot of people listening to the show would have heard of Cardigan Bay, but haven't read much about him. It's worth reading. It's actually a book on Cardigan Bay because he is, and will remain, harness racing's Farlap.
Mate, great to chat with you this morning. Could sit and listen to you talk about it all day. Thanks for joining us.
Mate, see you at Menangle in about 12 days.
Beautiful. There he is, Mick Gearan. Of course, we hear plenty of him here on Sky Sports Radio, and he joined us for a little bit on the coverage on Saturday night as well. But there it is. He's one of the biggest supporters of Lazarus, but still has a bit to go, and really has to do a lot to go past Cardigan Bay. Cozzy, that just about wraps up the show again this week. All as right. mentioned, the feature race on Saturday night will be the Chariots of Fire. It's a Group 1 $200,000 race. Race clearly not as strong as it's been in previous years. When you lose horses like Ultimate Machete and Vincent, who both won qualifiers, who both have injuries and won't take their part, you're obviously going to knock the race around a bit. But still, competitive event. Short price favourite for the race is Jillaby Kung Fu. We spoke with Jason Lee, his driver, last week on the show. He's drawn wide on the track. Atomic Red, the winner of the Hondo Grattan, has drawn even wider. And they look to be the main two on Saturday night. And we'll bring you all that action on Sky Racing 1. You'll hear it here on Sky Sports Radio. And, of course, I'll catch you again next Tuesday for another edition of On The Pace.
Good on you, Greg. Greg Hayes there on The Pace. It's 11 o'clock at Sky Sports Radio.